business, and Mark, why don't you go ahead and start it off for us?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County resident. Item number 13, discussion possible action, and this was put on the agenda at my request, and the agenda item is, shall the Board of County Commissioners,
Mark, now, hang on. Nicole, we're on the item requesting five commissioners, consideration of five commissioners, which is item 13.
That was continued.
Yes. 12 was continued maybe before you walked in. I'm not sure.
No, 11 was continued.
12 was continued at the beginning of the meeting.
12 was continued when we did the agenda approval. We don't have a vote from the VCTC, so we're on item 13. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the reason I requested this agenda item at this time is this is kind of a time-sensitive issue. In order to it's embedded in the Constitution of the State of Nevada that county shall have three commissioners, but the voters in the county or the county commissioners themselves can get the question placed on the ballot, shall the county have five? And this is reversible. If the county's got five, it can be taken back down to three. There's two ways to get this on the ballot. Commissioners can get it on the ballot by ordinance, or this can be done by petition initiative, about signatures and submitting signatures and getting it on the ballot. The reason I got this on the ballot now is I was looking for a motion in a second to say no way, Jose, that the commissioners are going to do this, which would be my marching orders to start the petition initiative process. But in that time, I've talked to people that were hoping to be here, that they could convince their commissioners to put it on the ballot by ordinance and save the public a lot of work in a petition initiative program. This could be continued. Any action could be continued. I was early enough getting this on. I'm looking at the schedule. I got till June 27th to get these petitions into the clerk's office. That's the deadline. So I would be happy today with a motion and a second. No way, Jose, that you're going to do this by ordinance. But people have asked me, people are hoping that they could, through their public comment, convince the commissioners that it would be a prudent thing to do. What happened in 2012 through the census process is, I guess, the DA and the clerk's office worked to redraw the maps using the formula of three commissioners and made a map, three commissioner districts, and I believe the map was legal, and but I think that five commissioners would make the map more appropriate for representation of the districts. Gold Hill no longer has their own commissioner. It's now lumped in with Virginia City. They would love to have their own representative. And of course, Mark Twain got split up pretty good. In a perfect world, 2 years from now, when Marshall McBride's running for re-election, he would be safe in his own district, Virginia City. And of course, Lance Gilman running for re-election would be running for re-election in the north end of the county. But the public would have a chance to vote on two new commissioners to represent Mark Twain and Bold Hill. There's a question about cost. I came up with $60,000, and Chairman Scholvengen just threw out $100,000, so if we could use maybe $80,000 is a price to add two new commissioners in the conversation. As far as I believe that a political action committee, you know, working on this petition drive would need 600 signatures. That's quite a few signatures. That's a lot of work. It'll be hours spent in the clerk's office confirming signatures, and I don't know if any of you have gone through the ballot books, but man, it's just a lot of time. And I'm at a loss here as far as trying to convince the commissioners that this would be worth the money. And I want the record to reflect that this is not the criticism of the three commissioners we have. Y'all are doing a great job and could be commissioners reelected.
I have some comment, if I may, and then I have a statement later on. First, I want to just have the record be very clear as to, I'll ask our clerk, and more importantly, our registrar of voters, to confirm this. Going to five commissioners does not automatically make Gold Hill have their own commissioner. The redistricting process, as I recall, is you take your number of registered voters, and there are a number of criteria that the Secretary of State statute requires, but typically you have to equally divide your districts with a very small variance. 3%, I think, is the target that they were by the census, okay? So saying that adding two more commissioners would give particularly Gold Hill one would need to be carefully researched, and I highly doubt that. I would probably say Mark Twain may, because that is enough of a population base down there. But no matter what, you've got to live with the split three ways with a 3% variance or split five ways with a 3% variance as you go through redrawing your districts. Also, I did some statistical studies, and currently the commission salary by statute is $27,371. Where it becomes determined or variable is in how many benefits the two new commissioners would need. And keep in mind, this is sans longevity on anybody down the road. You begin to earn longevity on your fifth year in elected office at the rate of 2% per year. So your fifth year, you're automatically pulling in 10% right there. So this is sans longevity, but if two new commissioners came in at the starting statutory salaries and they brought in their minimum benefits of just the employee, the cost would be to the county $44,000 per two new commissioners, or $88,000 total. If they come in with a maximum benefit load that we currently are required to provide because of our bargaining agreements, or we do provide, your cost would be a base salary of $27,371, and maximum benefits would increase from that $16,000 number to $26,984 per commissioner. You're looking at $54,355, or in essence just shy of $110,000. So, and that doesn't include any other staff that may or may not be necessary, any attending conferences, the NACOs, the whatnot, the travel, or anything like that.
There's not people here to say, God, it would be worth that much money to be represented by our own commissioner. And I would hope that you would continue in any action until Lance is back and could vote on this. And people who have called me and asked that this be continued.
And I do have a statement from Commissioner Gilman when you're ready, but I'll wait till other public comment.
Yeah, you want to hear some other comments, Mark, on this from Leslie Dozer?
I wanted to ask if the county manager had any other statistics there on how many how many people are being represented with three commissioners in each district and/or voters?
I do, Commissioner McBride. By population, so this includes people of all ages, children, you know, infants, whatever we may have in a county, in a three-district configuration, the district that I call Virginia City, Gold Hill, and South Mark Twain, which is your district, sir, currently, based on the 2010 census, we have 1,097 population. In the Highlands, which has its own commissioner, we have 1,415. And in the River District and North Mark Twain, Commissioner Gilman's district, we have 1,462. That is on the basis of the 2010 census. Taking a different approach to this, our current registered voter counts for those same districts come out to be for Commissioner McBride's district, 935, for Commissioner Chauvin's district, 978, and for Commissioner Gilman, 989. So, you know, on average, you're looking at one commissioner for every 1,200 to 1,300 in terms of total population, and in terms of registered voters, you're looking at one for every 900, 950. And I did do some additional research if the commission is interested in terms of what other counties in Nevada have in terms of three member of boards versus five members. I have that information if you'd like it.
So, well, why don't we hear from somebody else out here? It seemed like to, yeah, let's, come on up, Dale, why don't you,
That's because Mark's
That's
the one
because
that got
Mark's
it on the
presenter.
Back.
Oh, okay. I'm okay to hear Mark 5 minutes, too.
I
made
think
an
we'll,
executive decision that if they put it, if they get it on the agenda, then they get to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
3 minutes.
And, we'll be kind of relaxed on this anyway. I'd like to hear the arguments.
For me?
So please go ahead.
Put the turn it on.
You don't need to turn it on.
Okay. Okay.
Just start talking.
The three and the five is the big issue is they're countywide. And if I get my commissioner in my neighborhood, he's going to have more understanding and more interest in us, we the people, if we're the 900 that elect him, rather than countywide. Then the people go far and wide, Lance can get his card out there, or whoever can get it, and they can go around and they can get all these votes, and we don't have any say in our neighborhood. And my understanding is, we've got the AO there, he come down, he showed us the county has split up 1,000 in Mark Twain, I mean 1,000 in the Highlands, 1,000 in the River, and 1,000 in VC, and 250 in the Highlands, or in the Gold Hill and 750 in Mark Twain. That's four spots he's got it carved up in. And my understanding is if you people would put it on the ballot, you can have four of those people representing those areas, and they get elected there, and then have one at large, countywide elected, if that's not right.
Against the law.
Okay. Then cut it up. If you want to stay with three or stay with five to where they're elected in a narrow area that they represent. If you have everybody, you just ruin it by having the whole county voting on it. That's my problem with the whole thing. And I'd like to have five because we'd have a guy down there almost surely in Mark Twain, or if he had Mark Twain 750 and part of up here, it wouldn't matter. Some dandy couldn't come down from up here or the rear and prune those votes, even if he was in our area, because we'd be 750 people there. And we've got people now that'll get out and knock on doors. We've got teenagers that'll go out and hand out literature. And I'd like to see you really consider it, to narrow it down. And I would like to also ask for a copy, because I am not computer literate, of everything that the county manager has put up today, all the stuff there.
Okay. Well, everything's available on the website.
I'm not web. I don't have a computer, and I'm web ignorant.
Well, I would think that a guy that makes over $100,000 a year would certainly be able to...
Money don't make me smart. Money don't make me smart, Mr. Chairman. And
I will be happy to provide those documents.
And see, I limp along, and I could, but I like to read novels, too. I take two books a week, and I take trips. I go all over the world in these books, and I don't have to spend a dime in a car or the truck to take vacation.
You know, my
and I'm not going to go learn to type. And when I went to school, if you went to typing, you either had to wear a skirt or be a lot tougher than I was. And so I passed on typing.
My grandparents were afraid of rural electrification and telephones when they first came out. Chris, come on up. Let's hear from,
I think we have to elect the commissioners countywide. I don't think we have.
He is right. It would take a change in the legislature to go ahead and do it by district. It'd take an act of the legislature, not us.
Let's hear from Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chris Thompson, I work at TRI and for Mr. Gilman. I'm here on my own behalf, not on their behalf today, as a representative. I'd ask the commission to decline this request or this proposal. A couple reasons. Number one, the added expense isn't needed by the county right now. And as the county manager just said, the added expense is going to be far more than the salary and benefits in terms of the expenses that are required for a county commissioner. So that by itself weighs against this idea. Secondly, just in terms of the scope of the representation of the position, being here only 2.5 years, I'm a newcomer to this area, but to have one county commissioner for every 1,500 or so residents is beautiful in my book. I mean, they're very well represented. I come from a community, we had one county commissioner per 100,000 residents in the county. And so this, to me, this is a dream come true in terms of scope of representation. Over and above that, it, in my view, as an outsider coming in as a third party, just seeing the county and business here, just philosophically, this county is what makes this county strong in terms of attracting businesses. All the companies come in and out here is because it is a very thin bureaucracy. Adding two more commissioners would lengthen decision making. It would increase the bureaucracy, and that kind of goes against what makes this county so attractive to outside businesses. You guys have done so great in being responsive to businesses, the fast tracking of permits, the fast tracking of decisions on business license, the fast tracking on voting on things that affect businesses, and that's why you have Fortune 500 companies coming in here, and they'll continue to do so. And I just offer those comments. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chris. Anyone else out there like to weigh in?
Scott.
John, come on up. Let's get some.
My hometown was a very small town when I first grew up, but it got to be 40,000 people. They only have 7 commissioners for 40,000 people. The town still run like a town. I do not believe you need the extra commissioners. For the simple reason, your commissioners are voted by the people in Story County to represent them. And I know Marshall is not basically from the River District. He has helped us. Yeah. Slovin's from Highlands. He's helped us. Lance has helped us. I think if the people would stand up instead of just one individual from a little area, if the people would voice an opinion like the River District did. If you remember back, maybe 6 months ago, when the River District had about 60 people in here, we were representing ourselves. I mean, it wasn't that we were representing Mark Twain and stuff. We want things done. So we got together as a community to come up and voice our opinions. One person can voice an opinion, but it's not as strong as a whole bunch of people voicing their opinions together. So I think if Gold Hill, Mark Twain, Patrick even, and that's very small of our area, they're considered River District, but if they would get together, the people of that area would get together and come up to the commissioners and actually voice their opinion in strength, they'll have a better way of representation. You know, it's easy to say, you know, I want this. Does your community want that? If the community comes up and says to commissioners, we need this, now they can go back and decide. So I think as right now, I think three commissioners are planning for our county. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bob, come on up.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I was hoping I'd be saying good morning. Scott Jalkover, Story County business owner, landowner, tourism board member, Comstock Mining employee. I have a letter here I'd like to read to you from Corrado de Gasperis, who couldn't attend today. Story County commissioners, RE increasing commissioners from 3 to 5. Dear sirs, I'd first like to commend you all on serving the county in the engaged, effective manner that you always have. I have publicly stated on many occasions that Story County seems to have the people, the care, and the capability to effectively govern an incredibly diverse, dynamic economy and community. It has effectively reinvented itself and is responsibly developing itself toward a sustainable future, while always attending and protecting the unique qualities of life in the county amidst such great diversity. Sadly, many governmental entities have not had similar effectiveness. I believe one of the reasons is that the county is small in population, but large in opportunity, and the people repeatedly elect competent, vested leaders who care about its future. Considering this success, I believe changing the number of commissioner seats to 5 from the current 3, especially when the Planning Commission has been so effective and engaged with a larger makeup of 7, would not only add complexity and cost, but it could meaningfully retard the progress so nimbly being made. We have strong representative and engaged government. Why change something so effective? By comparison, Lyon County currently has 1 commissioner for every 10,000-plus citizens. Story County has 1 commissioner for every 1,500-plus citizens and 1 commissioner for every 950-plus voting citizens. I would not be supportive of such a change. Kindest regards, Corrado de Gasperis, 1475 Main Street, Gold Hill, Nevada. So that's from Corrado. Now I'd like to speak. While I love my colleague Mark here, I feel it's disingenuous for him to step up here and say to you, the people of Gold Hill, the people need to come if they have something to say. The people need to elect the person that they want to have sitting in your seats. So Mark should run for commissioner, or people from Gold Hill should run for commissioner, and if the population sees fit that they're fit to support what they believe in, they'll win that seat. They can go door to door, like Dale says, all those people, community-wide, and get elected. And that's the American way, and that's the process. I say, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. This is one of the best operated counties in the state of Nevada. Mineral County operates fine with 3 commissioners. There's no, I mean, add 2 commissioners, what, $88,000? Use it for the library. Use it for the good of the community. You don't need more bigger government with more expense. Thank you.
Can I have a question?
You know, before we go on, I was incorrect. If we put it to a vote of the people, they could choose to have each commissioner elected from the district that they were going to represent.
The last legislature, one of the counties went ahead and tried to get the legislature to change it so that they would have election by district, and the legislature turned it down.
They must have done it then, because the statute says that's what the statute says. So okay. They might have done it. So what this says is that if it either by a petition and referendum or by a vote of the commission, the question must be submitted in such a manner that the voters are also given a choice as to whether to elect the commissioners from districts or at large, if the division is approved.
A district, but that doesn't mean that the people of each district only elect their own county commissioner.
No, it says that. It says given a choice as to whether to elect the commissioners from districts or at large. So they can elect the commissioners, so if we...
We elect by districts now.
You have to live in the district, I think you get voted on countywide.
Yeah, countywide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the way it would be with two more county commissioners.
No, we could change that if the people wanted it to where they could get elected just from the district. So, she just gave me the...
I know, but I remember, this was in the legislature.
Well, and then maybe, I did, let me see if that, that statute's been...
I think that may have been either a city or a city charter.
That's what I'm thinking too, yeah.
That I think Carson City was involved in that and they have to get their charter approved up to that.
But you're right, it was addressed, I didn't remember, but that statute says that if you put it to a vote, they can choose to elect them from the district or at large. And right now, you all are elected at large.
No, we're not.
Yeah.
And at large would be someone who didn't represent a specific district or precinct.
Well, at large.
This county used to have that years ago. And we used to have it where it was staggered. Somebody got elected for a 2 year, somebody got elected for a 4 year, and somebody else got elected at large. Okay? But because we only had two precincts back then, we had the north end of town and the south end of town. Okay. That's all we had. Mm-hmm. But and the third person, but they were staggered terms in different 2 and 4 years. Mm-hmm. But everybody in the county still voted for all three commissioners, okay. Even though the one person was at large or in the precincts.
Okay, but that's what you were elected by all of the people of this county.
That's right.
But you had to live in this district.
Right.
If they chose, they could have it to where you were only voted upon by your district. That's what that statute says.
I don't think it says that.
All right. Well, let's not beat that one up at this point in time. Clay, you have some comments? Come on up.
I will have some public comment. I also have some statements. Well, but I have to go back. Last. I think I'm still outside.
I got a story to tell you after
that. Chairs Commissioner Clay Mitchell Goldhill. First and foremost, I just want to thank Mr. Phillips for his commitment to responsive and accessible government, and I want to thank the Commission for entertaining this item. I think this is an important conversation to have in a public forum, and I think it's one that should continue to keep kind of the checks and balances to make sure that the government continues to be responsive and accessible. I think, as has been pointed out by several of the other comments, that we have almost a very unique situation in this county in the level of accessibility, given the small population in relation to the number of commissioners that we have. And I would encourage that we continue to look at ways to improve responsiveness and accessibility, whether that's, and I know it's a pain, but looking at redistricting in a way where communities are more united, or population centers are more united, that may or may not be feasible. Looking into this further, if there is actually the possibility to vote by district as opposed to countywide, which may provide a mechanism for better responsiveness on the local level. That being said, it's very difficult for me, for the same reasons that have been given, related to expense, and secondly, complexity or bureaucracy to support this kind of a proposal. So I do not support the proposal, but I do recommend that we continue this conversation, maybe not on an ongoing basis, but from time to time, to make sure that as much as possible there's responsiveness and openness and access to government here in Smith Story County. Thank you.
Thanks, Clay. I think you've probably summed that up pretty good. But Pat, we have a letter from Commissioner Gilman. Is that?
Yeah, before I do that, I'd like to offer my own public comment very briefly. First, to Mr. Beach, if you want a copy of one of two documents that reference this, including my research, Vanessa has already placed it in the public record packet in the back of the room. So that's available through her. And when I read Commissioner Gilman's statement, I will hand it to her, and it will be available as well. I guess I want to kind of hit on a couple of the subjective reasons why I'm recommending that we give Mark his opportunity to take it through the initiative process. And that is, I've worked for this county for almost 16 years. 16 years this coming January, either as sheriff or in the current position. I don't mean this as disrespectful to any other past commissions, and I have worked with many commissions as the years have changed, from Chuck Haynes and Carl Trink to John Flanagan and others I'm probably not remembering right at the moment. This current commission and you can't say this, I can. In my humble opinion, this current commission does as good a job and often better than any of those past commissions in representing not only the people in their district, but the people in the entire county. Marshall and I meet once a week. Marshall and I meet once a week, and the decisions and the discussions are not limited to Virginia City, Gold Hill, or half of Mark Twain. They're interested in the Highlands, in the Sunny Hills, baloney, I'll call it, at this stage of the game. You know, I mean, you guys, Commissioner Gilman included, do a phenomenal job representing the people of this county, of which I am one, and I'm appreciative. The other reason why, and this is, again, very subjective, and I want to just kind of softly lob it out there. One thing the commission does is they act professionally and responsibly. If you increase from 3 to 5, the potential for divisiveness and acrimony, there's more potential for divisiveness and acrimony in the public governance process. Believe me, I don't mind or abhor bringing differing opinions or challenging viewpoints to the table. I think that's a healthy thing. But as a citizen of the county for almost 20 years, I take great pride that my commission, this commission, and past commissions have generally found consistent unity and governed with pride and professionalism. I think by going to 5, you're going to have a statistical probability that occurrence of 3-2 and 4-1 votes on matters will occur, and that's okay. We'll have our own 2-1 votes down the road again, but they need to be handled professionally, and then we do not want to increase the potential odds for having any individual member of the governing board come in with their own personal agendas. I see that oftentimes in 5-member and 7-member boards. So as a personal citizen of this county and as an employee of the county, I urge you guys to stick with the 3 format and wish Mark luck. If I may, I have Commissioner Gilman's statement that I'll read into the record and provide, and then Mr. Beach can pick that up from the clerk as well. County Commission, meeting December 3, 2013, statement of Commissioner Gilman regarding proposal for expanding number of county commissioners to 5. I am not in favor of expanding the number of seats on our county commission from 3 to 5. There are several reasons. First, as it stands now, we have 3 commissioners for a total population around 4,500, or in other words, 1 commissioner for every 1,500 residents approximately. Washoe County, by comparison, has 5 commissioners for a total population of around 429,000, or in other words, 1 commissioner for every 85,000 residents. I believe our representation ratio is optimum at the current level. In addition, adding 2 more seats would add significant expense to the county budget in payroll, distribution of documents and information, and in overhead for those 2 seats. This in a time when restraint is needed in government spending. Further, enlarging the decision-making body of county government would add bureaucracy, slow decision-making, and stifle decisive management by the commissioners. All of these factors weigh heavily against increasing the number of county commissioners by 66%. In sum, I am against this proposal. Lance Gilman.
All right. Anyone else from the audience have any additional comments? Dale, you've already had your turn, but I will allow you an opportunity for rebuttal here, but I want to hear from, see if Commissioner McBride has any additional comments he'd like to make, and then I'd like to have an opportunity to bring a few things up, too.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I know my history correct, the Story County was established. It started out with the 3-member Board of Commissioners. Later on, as the city grew, the metropolis that it had grown into, it moved it up to a 5-member board. And as the population declined back down, they reduced it back down to a 3-board member. So Story County in the past has had a 5-member board of county commissioners. Some of those in the audience like it compares to other small counties like Eureka, Esmeralda, Pershing, Churchill. They only have three members on their board of county commissioners as well. And when you're looking at the added expense of 2 more commissioners, and it'd have to be at least 1 more staffer and all the incident, other things, and maybe vehicles. When we're looking at balancing a budget every year, as money is tight, I just don't have any appetite for it.
All right. Well, I have a few observations, too. I would also add to this that Story County is in total area is number two from the bottom, with Carson City being the only other metropolitan area that is smaller in land area, and population-wise, we're number three from the bottom. When you put those two things together, the low population and the low land mass, there isn't much there to really manage. And a lot of these other small counties, rurals, have much greater land mass and much greater population, and yet they have elected to maintain three commissioners, opting to put that additional money into really good specialized employees. And I'll bring up Austin and our fire chief, Gary Hames, and that's where I would prefer to put our money, is in those specialized areas. Right now, I think as far as representation goes, I believe that the three commissioners we have provide a sufficient amount of coverage for the county. We all serve, we serve at large, so it is erroneous to say that Mark Twain has its commissioner and the Highlands has a commissioner and so on and so forth. All three commissioners represent the entire county equally at large. And most of you know that when there is a meeting of some importance, that the three of us are there. It's not just one or none, as has been the case in past years. When I went to a lot of meetings around the county, commissioners didn't show. I remember a lot of planning commission meetings that I attended over the years before I became a county employee. None of the commissioners ever showed up. And now, for the most part, you'll see, by and large, all three commissioners are there. In fact, it's even permanently printed on the agendas. It's on the agenda at the VCTC that there may be a possible quorum. So as far as representation, you are literally getting representation from the streets of Virginia City to the streets of Washington, D.C. And we have two members back there right now that are representing you. We sit, the three of us, on more boards and committees and commissions and things around the state and around the nation. We sit on the national NACO, we are on the Western States NACO, the state NACO. We cover a huge amount of territory representing you, the people in Story County, and I don't see that in a lot of the other counties, so that's just one of the things that is factual. In fact, a lot of the other county commissioners have asked me about, how do you get around and get all this done? And you know, the answer is simple. We take our jobs seriously, and we're able to shuffle our schedules around sufficiently to do that. Let's see what else I had. As far as a commissioner from Mark Twain, last election, there were two seats available. I don't recall that anyone from Mark Twain ever put their name on the ballot, and they had two seats that could have run. I don't recall that anyone from, did Gold Hill have anyone?
No, sir.
I don't believe, yeah, Gold Hill. No one ever ran. So if you want the commissioner from your area, the first thing you have to do is put your name on the ballot. A question came up about why were there no women on the commission. Again, you have to put your name on the ballot. That's kind of a no-brainer. As far as those proponents of five commissioners, today's room is empty. some of the very, very strongest proponents of five commissioners are absent today, and they beat me up on it a lot. They aren't here. So my opinion is there's no appetite for five commissioners because there are no, there's no one here to argue intelligently for five commissioners. Dale has brought up some things. Quite a bit of it is not consistent with the state law. Dale, you've got to sit down and pull up the state law on the internet and read it. Let me finish talking. There are restrictions on what we can do. And as far as getting things done in your community, we've said it before and I'll say it again. You can come up and public comment on it all you want, but it really helps us if you will sit down on your computer and type up a clear, concise list of things that you need to have done. And this is, I'm not pointing fingers at any area in particular. I get the same thing in the Highlands. You never do anything for us. We're the redheaded stepchildren out here in the Highlands. Put it in writing. Same thing on the River District, same thing in Mark Twain, same thing in Virginia City. Every area of the county claims to be the red-haired stepchild. And how many times have we heard that? But, you know, please, you know, put it in writing. Anyway, I'll shut up, and I'll entertain rebuttals.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think the district attorney offered proof that you can't elect them by their area. Whether it's three or five, you can draw a picture here and you only vote, get votes there. People can't come up here to these meetings like I can because they got to work. And some of them sick, healthy, they can, you know, go in there and punch their ballot, but we're not asking you folks to support it. I don't care if any of you support it. What I'm asking is to give we the people the opportunity to express our view. We're not saying there's, on every one of those, you write up a little story and say, this is the reason we shouldn't do it. It costs a lot of money. Then Dale Beach and Mark and a few people, this is the reason you should do it. Because then we'll have more say. Yes, it'll cause division. You'll have a 3-2 vote a lot of times when you've got five there. If we've got that guy down there by the throat and the government you've got, you allow one guy, Lance Gilman, and he's not here today, but you let him pick five people in my neighborhood to join that committee. And it was going to be a committee for the county, and now they say they're just a community center committee, that they're not interested in talking about drainage or anything in the neighborhood that helps us all. And they wrote up such a restrictive thing to use the room that I'm not going to sign it because I could go in there and have three people meeting, me and him and the sheriff and a couple other people, and leave, come back tomorrow, and somebody had went in there with a key and tore everything up and says, hey, Beach, you signed, you'd pay for all this crap. And I can't do it. I would like to see him turn that building over to community center because those people know how to work with folks, and they can get four times the bang for a buck. I just love the community center.
All right.
Anyway, that's that. Now I got another spot. Can I sit here? Public comment.
Yeah.
If I may, sir, for the record, Commissioner Gilman did not appoint the Mark Twain Community Center Group. That was properly agendized and discussed in a public meeting and was voted on by the entire board.
I would also, for the record, make the comment that that's a private organization down there, just like all the other community centers are in Story County. And they're no different than anyone else, and I find it extremely offensive that one of your little pals by the name of Lili Lim has filed a complaint with the Attorney General. So you might want to talk to your pal.
I don't have any pals.
Yeah, you do.
Acquaintances. I don't have pals.
Yeah, well.
I have family and acquaintances. Okay, I don't have pals. I can't afford them. I don't make them. $117,000 a year, that's
price
I can't really make it on that.
Yeah. At any rate, so I
I don't know why you think your community center group is any different than any other community center group anywhere else in the county. Because you're all organized in the same way. So that one's not even up for discussion, because those are private organizations. If you have a problem with them, go talk to them personally.
I do.
Okay, well, don't bring it up to us, because we don't have anything to do with it.
I can answer in this, talk about it anymore.
You can do that, but not yet.
Okay.
Okay, Mark, you're back up on rebuttal.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. In conclusion, I accept your challenge to form a political action committee, political action advocating passage or defeat of ballot question. Any doubt in your mind that I can't get 600 signatures to the clerk's office in 6 months, I accept that challenge, and we'll see. And the entire time I will be courteous and not talk about the three we have with any disrespect. I'll try to make the point that two more would be worth the money. And if I can get this thing on the ballot, sure enough, I might run someday. But that will just be proof that I'm not speaking for myself. It's a challenge. I don't know. I could fail miserably, but I'm confident that those signatures will be in the clerk's office in 6 months. Thank you for your time, commissioners.
All right. There being no other public comment on this at this point in time, I'll entertain a motion. And would you like to make a...
I have no interest in taking any action on this item.
Okay.
There's no motion being made.
There's no motion.
So it just dies.
It just dies.
Motion being made.
The whole thing has died.
No. Oh, come on.
You can't force a vote, okay? So, at this, but, don't leave right now. Don't leave now. Okay, because the next item up is going to be public comment. And you're already up here, Gail?
Yeah, Chairman, time on for me for 5 minutes, 10 seconds.
It's already started.
Get that timer going.
Let's, Lance didn't appoint him, but Lance did appoint him, and you three voted on him, with Lance and voting yes.
All right.
Okay, we've got five people down there, and one of them I talked to is off the committee now, and she said she got fired, so... You people are ultimately sitting up here, and that's a subsidiary of Story County. You know? That's our fire station. How do we get the fire people out? You guys aren't going to take no interest in it at all.
We own the building.
You what?
We own the building.
No, we the people own the building. We bought it with an insurance check.
We the people, yes.
Yes.
That's us.
Well, yeah, all of us collectively, yes.
But the organization down there is a 501c3.
Yes.
Or will be very soon.
Uh-huh.
And they're like April, who okay. Over here.
Turn that off. He's talking and not me.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
I want to explain some things to you, Dale, so you understand them.
I okay.
But our senior center down here is run by a separate private board. There are no county employees.
What about the community chest? They mess with that?
That is a private organization also. So the community center here in town is private. The community chest is private. The Hawk Center, that's a private deal. The community center.
You're making my leg itch.
Private. That's a private deal up there. Even though we own the building, we just let them use.
Yes.
So it's the same all over. Up in the north end, we have a community center up there. It is a private operation.
Okay.
So
let's talk about the drainage problems down there.
Okay.
Dale Beach doesn't know all the drainage problems. We need some topo maps, and if you're going to put somebody to interface with us. Richard Backus has got a whole lifetime of knowledge about such things. The current public works director, not so much. And if you could hook him up with me and somebody, we could drive under. He knows what the problems are. They didn't have any money to buy pipe to bury at the intersection, so they just raised the ditch up and made it flat and make the water run across the street and into the next ditch.
All right.
And we do swales like this instead of putting in concrete boxes.
You know, you can stand up here and talk about this stuff, but I'm not going to remember it.
Well, I know you didn't. You didn't.
Be some geographic coordinates and some photographs, and you get this reduced to writing, and then turn it over to Public Works.
Well, is he? Is he?
Understand.
Who's gonna hook up to me? We gotta have this in 2 weeks.
I just told you. You got to sit down and do the work. Dale Beach
isn't no engineer. I'm not no drainage engineer.
I'm not wanting you to fix it. I want you to go out and identify the areas that you consider a problem and then reduce it to writing along with some photographs and take it over to Public Works so they can see it.
And that's my job? Nobody was going to contact me then. It's just something Dale Beach has got to do.
You need to go do it yourself. If you have a problem with it, you need to identify the problem to us.
I explained that I don't have a drainage problem. I hired equipment and had equipment, and I done my drainage, and I don't have a drainage problem. It's my community down there that has a drainage problem.
I just told you.
I solved all the streetlight businesses, too. You guys have got two streetlights.
All right.
Two street lights down here, and I've got two.
You know, Dale, why don't you call Rich Backus and ask him to go down with you? Yeah, ask him if he'd go down. Identify the areas that there's a problem in, and then reduce them to writing, and then submit them, and then when it comes up for this infrastructure stuff to be done, we can add that to the list.
I'll answer that. That answer is no. Marilee Miller didn't know that, and yet Marilee comes in and she's got lists that she's working on that she promises that she'll send. There's the model volunteers that we have.
Yeah, I don't know why you and Janet and all your other friends down there can't just go do it. So, all right, Chris, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Chris Thompson. I thought we were going to make it a whole meeting without a cheap shot being taken at Lance Gilman. I guess that's not going to be the case.
Yes.
Mr. Gilman, I think it's safe to say, was the driving force behind turning that facility over for public use.
Yes.
No good turn goes unpunished, I guess, by the small facts in here that we've been hearing from today. Another recent cheap shot taken to Mr. Gilman was a complaint that was filed with the Secretary of State's office. This was by Mark Joseph Phillips in a letter dated 3 September 2013. It's a formal complaint made for failing to disclose certain items on the FDS, the Financial Disclosure Statement. And before this was filed, there was not a courtesy call, not a meeting set up with Mr. Gilman to talk about it, no investigation done. The complaint was just fired off to the state. We got notified by the Secretary of State's office that it was on file. Still no call from the complainant here, Mr. Phillips. On October the 4th, we received a letter from Scott Giles, Deputy of Elections. November 25th, 2013, we got the finding. After a full investigation by the Deputy Secretary for the Elections, Secretary of State's office, and it said, and the key part of the letter is this: upon a review of your written response, this is to Mr. Gilman, this office is convinced that your financial disclosures are accurate and met the requirements of NRS 281.571. As such, the Secretary of State's office finds that the allegations in the above referenced election integrity violation report do not, underlined, amount to a violation of NRS Chapter 281 or any other statute or administrative code within Title 24. Finding that no violation has occurred, the Secretary of State's office concludes that the investigation into this matter and the file is hereby closed. So yet again, a false allegation made against one of the commissioners. And I would note that when this complaint was filed, the complainant went running to the paper with the fact of the complaint. But when the investigation came back, clearing completely Mr. Gilman on this issue, there was not a comment made to the paper to clear this up. And I would hope that the paper would see fit to, we're going to submit something to them. We hope they see fit to apprentice. But I'd ask that this faction refrain from taking cheap shots and start doing constructive work in the county. Thank you, sir.
And Chris, just in one comment, we've already had a request from one of the two papers for Lance's specific item read in the paper with keen interest towards.
Yes, sir. Very well. Thank you.
So,
Mary Lee.
Marilee Miller, River District, Chairman of the Advisory Council for the Community Building, and I have never in my life seen so much craziness going on in other community buildings. I have a six-man board, three from Lockwood, three from Rainbow Bend. That is a community building for the community. Everything that my board does is focused on the good of everyone in that community. We have a lot of functions going on at all times. That is the board's job from that community building, to make that building accessible to everyone in that community. Mm-hmm. Our pictures for the children with Santa will be done in that building. Our parade of lights starts at that building, finishes that building with hot chocolate and cookies for everyone that participated. And we pick people up on the way, put them on that trailer, drive them up there, and then we drive them back home. We have a lunch program 5 days a week. We have a food program 3 days a week. We have knitting every single week and crochet in the evening. We have two classes of taekwondo and judo in that building. We have a gaming afternoon in that building every single week. And that's what a community building is for. We have birthday parties continually every month, two or three birthday parties from somebody in either one of those communities of Lockwood or Rainbow Bend, which is the River District. We don't distinguish any longer what we are and what we aren't. We are the River District. We offer that. And no one has ever destroyed our building. No one has ever had to pay a fine because our limits are $50 at max. Anything after that, that's when the sheriff takes over and figures out who did what. We don't. And we've never had to charge anyone for using that building. Where they do sign a paper saying if there is nominal damage, they'll be responsible. No one has ever torn up anything. And it is continually open once a month, once every other month. We have a business meeting with all of our board, and it's an open forum meeting. Anybody can come, and we have open forum. We go around the table and ask everybody that came by name what they'd like to bring up to our committee.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, you guys got a good handle on it at the River, and of course we do here in Virginia City, because just for no other reason than just being in business for quite a while, and I see Mark White is coming around.
Mm-hmm.
Right now the committee is just getting their,
mm-hmm.
Getting their feet.
And we do send an email to our commissioners telling them when our meetings are, if they want to come down and have lunch with us. We have lunch first. Our meeting is always after lunch. And it goes continually. And that's just the way it is. And we've never had any disputes, never had anything brought to the board that was negative at all. Everybody seems to really like the way it's working down there. And every single board member has assignments that they have to complete and do. When we come up with new ideas, we pass them out to the next person on the list to follow up and get it done so that it's for the community. Thank you.
You know, may I chime in?
Sure.
You know, Mary Lee, looking back, and this was a couple of years ago, I'm going to look at Chief Haynes specifically and maybe others. I don't think, Jerry, you were involved yet. But about 2 years ago, you guys specifically invited not only the commissioners, but in essence the county team. And I think we came out
in more, number, in mass.
And it was probably one of the best
yes,
events I've ever been to.
And we're thinking of it again.
Where we stood up. Mm-hmm. Introduced ourselves, talked briefly about function. I mean, we've changed and morphed like any organization.
Mm-hmm.
Austin had this role, and now he's got that
mm-hmm.
role. And, you know, Hugh, I don't know if you remember that trip or not, but it was a great yeah. feel. So maybe after the holidays, January, February, maybe we can
right.
put something together like that again.
And that was to so that our citizens could understand what different people did in this county. We wanted to do that for the citizens of the River District. I mean, we had a house full. We were eating in every room we had there because we had a house full. People really wanted to know what everybody did. Now, our commissioners do come down about every other month or so and have their own little meeting, and we get a house full. People tell them what we want. We also have Neighborhood Watch. We can really get a house full on Neighborhood Watch because they have ideas also that they want done. And all of these meetings take place in that building. And it is open to the public from 9 in the morning until 1 o'clock in the afternoon, every day, and available on all these evening programs that we have for the entire community. So thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Yeah,
thank you, Mary Lee. That was a great overview on everything that you provide and offer with your community center down there.
I think that was really good. Well?
Well, I know, but I mean, a lot of people haven't been there. Maybe they didn't know everything that you do there, because
you really need to.
That's a lot.
To do that. So.
That's a lot for a community
center. Any last minute, you pretty much burned your bridges.
I don't think he's been up for public comment.
Well, I don't think.
Okay. You just gave the 5 minutes. 15 minutes, Mark. That's all you're going to get.
I'm glad the subject of financial disclosure statements came up. Our county clerk's office has just published their list to the Secretary of State's office of the appointed and elected officers that need to file their finance statements of financial disclosure this year. I remember last year I went through the whole list and I found one person who failed to file. That was Dr. Slaby. And within 5 days after contacting Ross Miller, Dr. Slaby's financial disclosure statement was published online. And that's the intent of the statute. I would like to congratulate three new appointed officers here. This year, I mean, this is important. Austin Osborne's now an officer, administrative officer. Danny Dotson's now bona fide officer, tourism director. And talk about public service, Jeffrey Nevin, taking an appointment at the school board to fill a vacancy. Now there's a public service right there, and I appreciate our public officers. In regards to complaints to the Secretary of State's office election division, the election integrity task force, the complaints to that office are strictly confidential, but I waived my right to confidentiality when I put my complaint on record here and in the newspaper. I think if Lance had used legal counsel, he wouldn't have allowed what happened here today. And, you know, I can just grin and know that what happened here today will be used against them. Hey, who owns Piper's Opera House?
No,
not yet.
Not yet.
Bill's got the answer.
As soon as I get the deed done, I will. They own it. They took it over a couple of months ago, Mark, or probably longer than that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Are we the only place in the world
that's still there? Could be, I don't know. They're going to use it for their liberal arts function.
Yeah.
They took it over?
They've taken it over a long time ago.
How?
And I've got, so far, I've got a title report, and I need to prepare deeds and evidence to transfer. And I haven't had time to do that, so.
Okay, what was that?
All right, I was just kidding about the 15 minutes.
Thank you.
The rest of that is there's going to give anybody more than 3 minutes.
All right. Christmas is huge. Okay, go away.
Shoot.